Going to need a couple of volunteers in a second, all right, which obviously will fill you with dread. But the good news here is you'll be able to volunteer other people, and we'll explain why in a second. We've been married, Hannah and I, for 20 years now, and we have a little bit of a moment in our marriage, really early days, where Hannah asked for our marriage certificate for something, didn't you? She asked, could we, you know, she needed it. You know, if you're married or you're familiar with marriage certificates, you only get one. It's an original. Difficult to get a copy of. You can't get another one because it's an original. So she asked me if she could. I was the keeper of the documents, so to speak. So she said, would you mind? Yeah, well, not would you mind, but I needed the marriage certificate. I presume it was something like bank accounts or something like that. And off she went with the marriage certificate, and that was fine. And then I came home, you know, whatever, and I came across our marriage certificate sitting on our table with a coffee cup on it. And we had this great conversation at that time, early in our marriage, as to why I would be the keeper of the important original documents and Hannah possibly wouldn't be. Because the marriage certificate shouldn't be a coaster, should it? I mean, I appreciate some of you have been married a long time now and you might feel the marriage certificate needs to be a coaster or something like that, and that would be what it would be good for. But there's a sense of where, you know, that. So I want you to, for a second, and imagine that we've got a message that we need to convey to someone far away, and you need someone who's going to handle the document for us, handle it, who's going to hold it in a second. So I want you now to start thinking, in this room, I don't know where that is, I want you to start thinking of someone in this room who, may I suggest, wouldn't be a kind of Hannah character, but somebody you think, no, we could give them that document and it would come back as we expected and not be used as a coaster. Okay, so that's the first one. So you're going to be thinking, you can nominate whoever you want, but hopefully what you'll do is you'll nominate and everybody go, yeah, yeah, they're definite. That's that kind of person. Then we have somebody else in my household who is a teenage boy. And maybe, again, this is sort of exampling who we don't want for the next volunteer. So he's the kind of boy, Jake is the kind of lad, he's in the teenage years, the brain is still developing, and I need to give a verbal message to someone else. So I need to pass a message to him, but nothing's going to get written down. It's got to be remembered up there and passed on. Jake isn't the kind of person in our family that we might use for that at this particular time in his life, because the chances of it being passed on are quite remote. And some of you will have teenage boys, and you will identify with that reality. In fact, you'd be lucky if you even get a word of the message conveyed across. Okay, so we need somebody there then who's got that ability just to retain a little bit of information just long enough in order to pass it on. So can we have those? So I want you to shout out the first thing. The person or the persons that you think we could choose. And if somebody shouts out that person's name, I want you to all cheer if you think, yeah, you've nailed it. That's the person, reliable. They can look after the document. And then I want you to shout out as well. So let's do that one first. Come on, who here?
Tina.
Somebody cheer. Which one? Come on, which one? I'm not going to decide. I can't tell you. Tina Davis.
Tina,
yeah. Yeah, Tina's a good one. Tina, right, Tina, okay. You got it. Okay, so have you got something to lean on, Tina? Okay, you need something to lean on. Here you go. Look at that. Wonderful. It's like a desk for you.
No,
that's the document. Okay, so that's... Okay. Right, okay, so we've nailed the Tina thing. Now we need that person who can remember. David Perry. David, come up, David. Okay, so what we've got now is, I reckon, come up, David. David, don't be... I don't want to say don't be shy, but you know what I mean. Right, so what we've got now is two people, a bit of a combination of gift, combination of character. Is that right? We've got people, we go, yeah, we can trust them. Okay, David, are you ready? Come here.
Possibly.
Come here. I need you, and I want you to write this down, but I need you to tell her what to write.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you now. In fact, let's go over. We don't want to cause any feedback. Let's go back here. Come on. Okay, so you're going to have to shout it out, okay? I want to bless you.
Bless you, and I want you to be a blessing.
Nice one. Next one.
I want you to look up at the stars and count them.
He's good.
I want you to look down at the sand and count that.
Fantastic. Thank you. David, you should say that was wonderful. Thank you, David. Okay. So what we've got there, David's new name is Abraham. Abraham or Abraham, yeah? In Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 and Genesis 22, God speaks to him and gives him a message. Now, we don't know and we don't think that he necessarily wrote down that message. What he did, he told someone later on to write down that message. And the message was this, that all the families in the earth will be blessed because of you. I'm going to make you a blessing and you will be. I'm going to bless you and you will be a blessing. He said in Genesis 15 verse 5, I want you to look up to the stars if you can. And if you can try and count them, your descendants will outnumber the stars. And then in Genesis 22, he says, I want you to look at the sand on the seashore, as it were. And if you can count them, your descendants will outnumber the sand. And over time, that was passed down through reliable people to reliable people to more Davids and more Davids and more Davids and more. And then eventually someone wrote it down. And you wrote down, Tina, what did you write down? That is an ABC of the Old Testament being written. And the summary of it is this. There is one of Abraham's offspring coming, Jesus Christ. And he will bless the world. Now I want you to turn the document over. And we don't need a David this time. And I want you to write these things down. And this is going to be important because we're going to need this. Okay. I want to write Galatians 3 verse 16. I want you to write, in fact, before that, write this one. Galatians 2, verse 20. You've got a big piece of paper. It's funny how you're using the top left corner. Okay. Galatians 2, 20. Galatians 3, verse 16. And then Galatians 3, verse 26 to 29. Yeah. Okay. Now, I've got my Bible ready, and I've left my notes behind. What's first? Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's next? Galatians 3 verse 16. God gave the promises to Abraham and his descendant. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. What's next? Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29. For we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So there, just in those short verses alone, we have the complete, or ABC, or 1, 2, 3, of the New Testament. The Old Testament, Christ is coming. The New Testament, thank you, you have been fantastic. Let's give Tina a little round of applause. And Tina's new name is Paul. the apostle. Because he wrote 50% of the New Testament. And so God, first of all, he spoke to Abraham. And then he spoke directly to Paul. And in the Abraham's one, it was written down by others. But over the law and the prophets and then the New Testament, we have this promise of Jesus Christ. And this promise of Jesus Christ that we're meant to pass on, this message. And it now says in Galatians that we are the children of Abraham. We are the children of the promise. It has been passed to us, this message of Christ. And so we are part of something bigger. We are part of something. If you have put your faith in Christ, if you are in Christ, if you have been baptized into Christ, this message has been put in you, in us. It is our inheritance. It is our promise. It is something for us in order for us to be blessed and to become a blessing. And in a sense, we all kind of know that. And if you've been around the church a while, you kind of know that. But that is massive for us. We belong to Christ. So we are the true children of Abraham. We are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to us. We are part of something bigger. What I love about that verse, and particularly the verses and the promises to Abraham, is it's like God said this. You know, God said to Abraham, you know, Abraham, you won't forget this promise. This is how you remember it. In the day, you'll be able to look on the ground. At night, you'll be able to look in the sky. And you won't forget the promise that has been given to us. And so if it's in our DNA and identity, what I wanted to do now was just really draw out some things that I think will be helpful for us to understand, therefore, what it looks like to be a family on a mission. What it looked like to have that in our DNA and our identity. And I'm going to choose, you know, three things, and then I want to leave us with something which I hope will make an impression on you that you will not forget. So the first thing is this. In order to be a family on a mission, you have to belong. You have to belong. What do I mean by that? You see, if you put your trust in Christ, you were born in. You're in the family. You're born in, and in that sense, you belong. And you are part of the body of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't really necessarily mean that you belong. I'll try and illustrate it like this. Would you agree that all parts of my body, as you see them now, belong to me? Is that true? Okay, so if we have some horrific accident happens, this, the most precarious music stand falls over, is particularly sharp, and chops my arm off, and it lies there. Forgive me, I should have probably given you, this is a trigger event, I think they call it on the news. This is horrific, it's lying there. Does it still belong to me? Is it connected to me? No. So is that a good place for a member of the body to be? No, we should be connected to the body. So to be a family on a mission, you have to belong. You have to be connected to the body. And if I can give you any reason to be connected to the body, would you agree with me that if that horrific accident was to repeat itself and my head came off, that would be bad news for the body? Well, the Bible says the head of the body is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ sees fit to connect himself to the body, and without him connected to the body's in real big trouble, then what right have we to be an arm that is disconnected? Why would we? We should be connected to the body. We should belong. We should belong. Secondly, we should be ourselves. Oh, what a message that is to every single church and every single person that ever sits in a meeting, to be yourself. To be yourself. It's never just been about Abraham And it's never just been about Paul. It's never been about that. In many respects, Abraham was just one star. He might have been a bright star, but he was a star, and so was Paul of Grain. It has always been about more than a few people. And if we don't understand that, and if we don't understand that promise of Abraham, which ultimately was through Christ, but as a consequence, it says that through Christ, the descendants will outnumber the stars and outnumber the sand. If we understand that, we change our perspective about everything. You see, if we don't understand that, we have a distorted perspective. Can you name one of the biggest churches in the world to me now? Anybody can name one. Shout one out. One of the biggest churches in the world, local churches. Bethel, how many? 5,000? Okay, we'll go with that one, 5,000. I want you to imagine I've got a teaspoon now. I should have brought that with me as an illustration. A teaspoon, it would take a while. 5,000 grains of sand on it. And I tip it on the beach. How big is it? Tiny. How many of you are here? 70? Tip it on the beach. Tiny. Every church is worth something. Every church has value. Every church is part of the promise. And 5,000 and 50 and 500, actually, they're all part of something a lot bigger. And it changes our perspective. And so we should be ourselves, and we should understand, therefore, if we can understand that we're part of the promise, and I will come back to this later, we need to understand not only do we need to belong and belong, but we need to be ourselves. And recognize that you are a grain of sand. You are a star in the sky. And you have as much a contribution to make as Abraham and Paul and anybody else that you can think of that maybe you're thinking is more important than you, has a bigger contribution to play than you. It is a nonsense. It is a nonsense, and it is a lie, and I do not believe the Bible teaches it. On the contrary, if you're familiar with your Bibles, you will know the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. What does he say? We're all part of the body. We've all got a part to play. And the foot, and that way the hand doesn't say to the foot, you're not worthy of it. And the foot doesn't say, well, I'm useless because I'm not the hand. We have to be ourselves. And so if we belong and belong and we be ourselves, then the next thing we must do to be a family on a mission is be involved. Be involved. Everyone needs to play their part. And this is an expansion of what I've just said in being yourself, but the part that you play is super, super important. And I want to encourage you as a church. There are people in this room who've played a significant part in our journey down in Swansea. There are people in this room who've done what they needed to do at that moment, and as a consequence of what they did, it altered the course of what we did in Swansea. And so there's somebody in this room who rang me up when I was in Bromsgrove here, whatever, 7 or 8 years ago, rang me up and said, I feel God has spoken to you, and I want to give you a word. And they're not a front person. In fact, they're such an introvert at times. They're so hidden. But they rang me up and said, I feel like God has spoken to me for you. And he gave me that word. And I held on to that word. In part of me, I thought, wow, that's a fascinating word. And 7 years later, that word has influenced my life, possibly like no other word has ever influenced my life. And it's still impacting my life today. And so as a family on a mission, I want to commend you because there are people in this room who've done things like that. And it's made a massive difference. Another person in this room has also come, they came down to Swansea and they felt God speak to them. And they went and did what they felt God was saying to them in Swansea. And they prayed into a certain situation. Then they shared it with us. And again, that word alone, as a consequence, led me to do several steps in faith which resulted in the project that we're involved on in Swansea, that has served 22,000 meals, intercepted 15 tons of food. But I tell you this, it was the person in this room who came to Swansea to encourage us, felt God speak to them, and then pass it on to us. And that was a prompt for me. There are other people in this room who have contributed financially or friendship and encouragement and word to us in Swansea. And so in one sense I'm saying, guys, you're already doing it. We're already a family on a mission. But there's something for us here in terms of being involved. Everyone in the body needs to play their part. And if we're not careful, we devalue certain contributions because we think, what value has that? Imagine if that person, oh gosh, imagine if that person had not made that phone call to me. Imagine they'd not made that phone call to me and said, I feel God's spoken to you. The whole of New Testament history may have been altered if a guy called Ananias had heard God speak to him and then say, a bit risky, I won't do that. In Acts 9, if you read the story, we're all familiar with the Pauls. It's Ananias. God says, Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go to this guy Paul on Straight Street because I'm going to use him to be a light to the Gentiles. And Ananias says, really? Are you sure? Do you know about this guy? Are you serious? Imagine if Ananias had played it safe and not got involved. And think, you've got to be kidding me. Ananias went and changed New Testament history because he got involved. What does being involved look like? Somebody, a friend of ours said this recently and it just stuck with us as a really helpful phrase. Being involved looks like this. I make a difference when I play a part and I make a difference when I don't. There will be times in this life of this church where you have chosen not to be involved and you have failed to realise that you made a difference by making that choice. And there will be times as well, maybe, where you've made a decision to be involved and you're unable to see how you've made an impact. So we make a difference when we play a part and we make a difference when we don't. When I was in Bromsgrove, I went to an anniversary dinner of Martin and Sylvia Eaton. And I remember sitting at the table with a person who was like that arm lying on the floor. I remember having a conversation with them. They were basically unconnected to the church. They weren't involved. They belonged. Of course they did. Faith was in Christ, but they didn't belong. They were themselves, but because they were themselves, they didn't belong, and they had no involvement to make. And I made the comment to them, that young man, and I said, you know what? If you step away from this table, what happens? The table is poorer for it. You need to stay at the table to make a contribution. You need to be in the room where it happens to make a contribution. That's what needs to happen. For us to be a family on a mission, we need to be belong. We need to be ourselves and we need to be involved. And I want to finish now with the thing that I hope you will take away above all else. I want to come to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, you will maybe be familiar with it. Maybe you're only just a new believer here. Maybe you don't even have a faith in Christ. I don't know. The people have said about the book of Romans or the letter to the Romans, it is probably one of the, if not the most influential letter or book in the entire Bible. But if you didn't want to agree with that, it might be argued it's the most influential book in the entire New Testament. History is full of people who have said, I read that letter and it transformed my life and I put my faith in the one who was spoken about when Abraham was given a promise, Jesus Christ. Somebody said it's like the Isaiah of the New Testament. In other words, Isaiah is the best of the books of the Old Testament, and Romans is the Isaiah of the New Testament. And so I want to ask you a question. Don't have to shout this out. I don't want any sort of shouting out now. Just, I wouldn't want anybody to get it wrong. And do you know, so don't know shouting out, do you know who wrote the letter to the Romans? Do you know? I'll tell you anyway, but do you know? It was Tina. No, it was Paul. Paul wrote it. And probably most of you, if you've been familiar with the Bible and familiar with Jesus Christ and been following him for a while now, you will know that. My next question for you is, who delivered it? Who delivered it? And I won't embarrass you by asking you whether you know this or not. So if you put your hand up now, I won't ask you. So don't worry about getting it wrong. But I want anybody here who knows who delivered it to put up their hands if they confidently know they think who delivered it. Okay, Jonathan. And we knew Jonathan would do it. Richard as well. And Hannah, because she's heard me talk about this. Okay. Who delivered it? This is the best message God could give. What sort of person would you ask to deliver it? I want you to imagine now you've got a precious document, or this, the letter to the Romans. I want you, again, just in your mind, work through in your mind, what sort of person? Do they need to be particularly gifted to deliver the letter? Probably not. What do they need to be? What sort of characteristics? Reliable. Anything else? Trustworthy. Faithful. Consistent. All that stuff, isn't it? Well, I want you now to turn to Romans 16. And we're going to read about the person who delivered this letter. In Romans 16, verses 1 to 2, and we're just going to finish with these final points on this individual. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church of Centuria. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honour among God's people. Help her in whatever way she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Here is a living example of someone who belonged, who was themselves, who was involved and was useful to God and Paul and ultimately Abraham. She was a sister, he called her. She belonged. She wasn't a distant relative. She wasn't somebody he didn't know. She was a sister. She was involved. She was a deacon. And without wishing to spend long unpacking what that meant, it meant that she served. The idea of sometimes deacon was somebody who would go through the dust, somebody who would go low, somebody who was reliable, someone who was trustworthy. In fact, one of the qualifications for the Bible deacons in the Bible is this: one who has proved themselves trustworthy. Trustworthy. She was in the Lord. She knew the Galatians 2:20, the Galatians 3:16, the Galatians 3:26-29 applied to her. She knew that she was in Christ. She knew it. She'd been born crucified. She'd been born crucified. She knew from the beginning that it was no longer her that lived, but Christ in her. She was reliable and helpful to many. In other words, you get this impression of her that she was an initiator. She would want somebody who would step forward and say, I can do that. And there were many people who said she'd been helpful to me. She'd been trustworthy. She'd been useful. And there's something about her which I would suggest is that she was available for whoever, wherever, whenever, and however. It wasn't about a gifting, it was about her character. She is a perfect example of the DNA and the family characteristics of someone who belongs in the family, that was herself and was involved on mission. She is a perfect example of someone that wasn't an arm on the floor, but rather an arm connected to the body that played her part well. And the purpose, therefore, I want to leave us with now is this. And I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, help us get this. Help us understand what it means to be a family on a mission. And the big headline of what I want to say is this. Abraham did his bit. Paul did his bit. But we wouldn't be where we are today in church history if the history of the church wasn't full of Phoebes doing their bit. And if we're honest, most of us can relate more to the Phoebe model than we can the Paul and the Abraham. And I want to encourage you, is your imitation of here in Bromsgrove, being involved, being yourself, belonging, is it like Phoebe? Where you'll serve whatever, whenever, however, whoever. That it's not about your gift necessarily, just about you and playing your part. If you've got a gift to bring, great, bring it, but it doesn't really matter. The fact is you want to make a difference when you're there, and you know, because when you make a difference when you're there, you make a difference when you're not there. There's something about you that is the DNA of a family on a mission. And I think church history has been built as much by Ananias and Phoebe as it has been by Paul and Abraham. And the message of the promise given to Abraham of Jesus Christ, as articulated by Paul in the book of Galatians, needs to be passed on by a whole load of Phoebes more than anything else. And so I want to encourage you, in terms of being a family on a mission, To serve as many people as you can, as helpfully as you can, in the most memorable way that you can. Because you get this idea of Phoebe, don't you? Where almost people would say to Phoebe, oh, Phoebe, she was amazing. And she wasn't doing it to be amazing, but she was amazing. Her reputation meant that people said, oh, whenever, however, whoever, whatever, she is a servant. You know, if she was here now, who should we trust to deliver this message that will change the whole of history? And change history, people after people after people after people, including the people in this room. Who should we trust? And we'd all shout out, Phoebe. Let's give it to Phoebe. Let's be more like Phoebe. And therefore, as a people and a family on a mission, my encouragement to you, my plea with you, my ask of you is this: become like Phoebe and serve in that way. As many as you can, as memorably as you can, in whatever way you can. Because it will make a difference if you do that. And what we're going to do now, just to finish, I just want us to maybe just take a moment before God, but I'm going to ask us to do something. I'm going to ask you to pass this around the room. And some of you are going to need to have to get up to pass it to the next person. But as it comes to you in particular, maybe you'll say, let me be like Phoebe. And I want to encourage us as we do that, because this is the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. To be on a family on a mission, we have to understand what the message is. And then we have to be people who pass it on and play our part and serve whatever way we can. And maybe for you, this will be the beginning of you being more involved, being yourself, and being more connected to the body of Christ. Is that okay? So we're going to start with Paul because that makes sense. And we'll go this way. And just while we're doing that, if you just want to close your eyes, you'll feel it pass. Just take a moment as you pass it just to think, yes, God, let this be me. Let me be the feeble. We don't need to rush this. I want us to take on board what we're doing here. Lord, let this be me. Let me be Phoebe. Let me be Phoebe. Lord, let me be Phoebe. And make your prayer now. God, let me belong. Let me play a part. Let me be myself. As we do that, I'll just pray for us all. Lord Jesus, I pray that we'd let go of things in the past that have hindered us from being involved. Lord, I pray that we would stop limiting our contribution. We'd stop comparing ourselves like you can as a church, compare yourself to a bigger church, but recognize that we are all part of the promise because we are all in Christ. Lord God, I thank you for the people in this room who have contributed to my life in Swansea and the church in Swansea. And I pray for this church that it would be a family on a mission. That we understand that it's been given a message that this is a room full of Phoebes. And that we would be released, as it were, and effective in doing whatever we can, in serving however we can, to share the message of Abraham. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And just as we just continue to pass it around, just take a moment to just pause, close your eyes and think for a second. What implication does this have for you? So if this letter's gone round past you already, I want you to just pause for a second. Because I know as soon as you get out of here and start packing up and packing down, you'll forget it. It's just the nature of things. Just pause for a second. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Transform our thinking. Renew our thinking. Refresh our thinking. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us a message. We thank you that we can come together as a body and play a part. God, where you are speaking to us and speaking to individuals in this room, I pray that we would not forget it, that we would respond to it and do something as a consequence of it. Lord, I pray over every single person in this room that they will increasingly make a difference when they are there and increasingly make a difference when they are not. That this would truly be a church on a mission together. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Thank you. Thank you, guys. God bless you.